Podcast with a K. Yeah, this is Christian. That's James. And I don't know about James. I think we've had a brief conversation, but I'm very excited about the news that's come from the Doctor Who press office, the BBC press office today, which is, what day is it? It's Thursday. The 6th of April, in which we have learned that John Sim, the Master, I'm saying this as if you don't know who he is, but I'm also saying because I can't quite believe it for some reason. I don't know why. It's maybe Doctor Who seems to have gone in such a different direction that it's a surprise to see John Sim back. But
Maybe, you know, you should be, because when you think about it, it has been closer to 10 years than 5.
Well, it's been seven years.
2009 was his last appearance.
Was it 2009, was it?
Yeah.
It was the end of time, wasn't it?
Very end, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so the end of 2009. So 7 years. We'll call it 7 years. So it's been 7 years since John Sim was on Doctor Who. And he's back, which is the longest gap between appearances of a Master since Survival and the TV movie. Well, they're probably about the same length of time. But, so this is... I understand, or we're told, that a paper was going to go with this, either today or tomorrow, in print. So... the BBC have kind of, as they are wont to do in these situations, they've got in there first. And John Sim says, "I can confirm that it's true. Thanks to the power of time travel, I'm back. It's always a pleasure to work with this great team of people," which is most of them he has never worked before, but anyway. "And I can't wait for you all to see what the Master gets up to in the next series." I'm still excited about this. I feel like a child.
Sounds. I'm kind of hoping he's in it for more than a small bit, because at first I thought it was going to be a cameo, maybe a sort of flashback. Maybe he thought for the end of his era, Moffat was going to sort of link Missy to Sim. But it kind of sounds like there's something a little more proactive in that statement.
Mm.
What he's up to. It sounds present tense rather than past. So
yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. I mean, I loved Sim in Life on Mars. I loved him in Doctor Who. Didn't initially. Initially, I was sceptical, but the performance really grew on me. And then I've loved him in stuff he's done other. You know, Prey. He was really good. Enjoyed him in that.
Mm.
You know,
but he hasn't been on TV for a while either, though, has he?
No, I'm surprised he's not been in Line of Duty, because it just feels like the sort of show he'd be in, and he's not.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd.
I think I hear him pop up on adverts, or charity adverts anyway. I've heard him doing a charity advert recently, and voiceover work. But he doesn't seem to have done much television. I don't know if that's because he's doing theatre or because he's just... No, everyone's forgotten about him.
I doubt it's the latter. He's always seemed to have quite a strong career that didn't really rely on any of the sort of cult things that he's known for, so which has been very fortunate, I think, for him. I'm really glad he's back. I'm also really glad because I didn't like the disconnect between, and especially because I never thought the Missy reveal was anything particularly other than a sort of almost like a statement to the fans, and it was anything that blew anyone's mind away. I think for the only people who'd really be connected to the Masters were the fans, because, you know, 7 years, well, okay, less than that, then 5 years or so had passed since the Master had been on. I don't think he was very much in the forefront of the thoughts of the general public.
Hmm.
So when they revealed that Missy was in fact the Masters, the only people who particularly care, I think, are those who indulge in the show. And I don't think it was a particularly friendly gesture to them. It was a sort of like, hey, sod you. This time it's a woman. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, I've made a Time Lord a woman. It felt that sort of twist. And without getting too much into that, I think that sort of was a shame for John Sims, because I kind of wanted him to, if nothing else, pass the torch over, because he was good and his era was good. And it's sort of almost that opportunity was lost in favor of this rather sort of obvious twist that a lot of people were citing is going to be the answer by the first episode she appeared in, or the second episode. So it wasn't even like it was a particularly well hidden twist.
Yeah.
It was, as I say, it was more of almost like a cultural political statement, a Doctor Who political statement. Look at the power I have. I've made her a woman. Mm-hmm. Made him a woman.
Yeah.
And it was like,
Well, Stephen Moffat, the man responsible for that, he says today, nothing stays secret for long on Doctor Who, but you'll have to wait a little bit longer to see exactly what the Master is up to and how he makes his return to face the Doctor. It's been a huge pleasure to have to have fan favourites John Sim and Michelle Gomez face to face in the same role. It's not often you get to see a solo personality clash. Which again raises some interesting questions, which we're not going to get answers to. I tell you what, there's been an interesting build-up to this series, hasn't it? There's never been a Doctor Who series build-up quite like this. In the past, I think there's a kind of a standardisedness to them that you'd have the launch and then maybe a tour and the usual interviews, the Graham Norton interview, whatever, that sort of thing. Clips, limited clips, then the show, and then it carries on with the press releases for 2 weeks' time. And having run Casterbus, you look at these things in a kind of slightly different way, and possibly you notice a pattern there that maybe other people don't notice. But this feels very different. Whether it's because of things being leaked and the BBC jumping in there before they're, before anything is spoiled, I don't know. But this is very exciting.
No, I'm really, I'm excited by it as well. I've not really followed the sort of build-ups as you've had to over the years, since you did it for several years each year following the sort of PR approach. It does feel vaguely different. It's interesting that the press seem to be sort of following this positive shift, because it is about, he has gone for a very positive message this time. The sort of heroes, time for heroes approach is a sort of very proactive, upbeat,
Certainly better than same old, same old.
Yes. So, I think it's, I think it's quite an interesting tactic, and the way they're trying to sort of release information is interesting. I did wonder whether this was the thing that he was talking about the other day, the big shock that would make all fans really excited. I assume that's something else.
I wonder whether this might be a good time to talk about the have you seen the video?
No. We
already know how Doctor Who Series 10 ends video.
Oh, I have, yes. I did for some reason fall about. I wasn't falling
was
about.
Was it that good?
I started watching it and I thought there is a chance, because while there was a few little ideas in there which had stood the grain of truth, there was a lot of speculation. But there was part of me which was feeling like, I'm worried that this is actually going to be what it is, and I don't really want to know if it is. Mm-hmm. And if it is what they were saying it is indicative again of his approach to far too much Doctor Who history excavating for a family audience show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is the same one, the one about his past life cycle and Missy.
And a twin planet.
Yeah, I didn't get that far. I can guess where that's coming in, yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we won't talk too much about that then. I agree with you. I did think it was quite close to what it might actually be. So basically, listener, there is a video on YouTube called We Already Know How Doctor Who Series 10 Ends.
And this takes evidence from a load of weird places, like a recent exhibition, wasn't there, on the costume?
That was quite compelling, to be honest with you, I thought. But various things could be drawn from that. But it's certainly worth seeking out. It's by Alexander Sigsworth, and uses a for some reason has a parody of synthetic voice conspiracy videos elements to it as well. I'll leave that for you to get your head around.
The whole thing with Sim would sort of fit into some of the ideas that were floating around there, being it very much about the Doctor's history and timeline, which again is pure speculation. But
yeah, it's interesting, but it's not something that you probably want to go into at this stage when we haven't even seen any of Series 10. So we'll kind of wind back from that. But, do you remember, we've talked about this on a couple of occasions in the past, the Master and Missy specifically, and in there's a Doctor Who novel, one of the big hardback novels, whose name escapes me at the moment, from BBC Books a couple of years ago, Harvest of Time by Alistair Reynolds, the Alistair Reynolds, which is a unit era story with the Third Doctor and the Master, and they travel to a spaceship to find out who's invading Earth and why, and the Master finds, and the Doctor as well, finds a room full of various incarnations of the Master, and one of them's a lady.
Right.
And this is before Missy came along. And this is the weirdest thing, is that this description in the book intimates that she's got similar features to Delgado, and it could be quite honestly said that Michelle Gomez has quite similar features to Roger Delgado in a, you know, from certain angles.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's quite strange whether it's a, you know, whether it's a prediction or her casting was sealed long in advance and it was put in just before publishing. I don't know. It's nice. So there is a bit of multiple master stuff going on there, and it's nice to have the idea of the multiple master thing in the TV series, because we do forget this, but essentially Delgado, Ainley, and Roberts are all the same master.
Yeah.
So really, there's only been one master. You know, he's been hopping into bodies. There's really only been one master before Jacoby, and he only had an episode. And then you've got John Simmons. John Simmons' master was wildly different to the Delgado Ainley master. And I thought it was really a bit of a shame that we didn't get to see more of him. You know, what we were saying before, and what you pointed out about it sounded like it's more than just a cameo. I would love some more sort of Series 3 style machinations in the background and the Doctor not being aware of it.
Yeah.
Have a shadow being drawn around him and him not noticing.
Yeah, I don't know how I want this to play. It's a funny thing, because I was thinking when we started this season, when they were doing all the trailer clips and I saw Missy there, and I was thinking it's kind of sad that Missy gets to be in every Capaldi season, and I was thinking it'd be nice for Sim to have had a little more than the two series, and it's kind of nice to have him back for that reason again. Yes, I want to see him as an active role. I don't want to see him as a flashback. I don't want to see him as a vestige. I don't want him to see him as just as an attempt to justify Missy, but to be something a bit more potent.
Mm.
I kind of feel he probably won't be, just simply because he's not been on any of the trailers. I'd have kind of thought they perhaps would have promoted him earlier if he had a bigger role. I don't know.
Well, are they still shooting? Do we know if they're still shooting or not?
I think the Radio Times gave the impression that they hadn't shot the Christmas episode yet.
Right.
Which is why they were putting skepticism up for the hands, the hands being regenerating as being actually the regeneration, unless speculation has been that he regenerates early at the end of the last episode. But I don't think that's going to be the case, because I do remember that there was the point that the handover for Chibnall was for the first lines of the next Doctor, and Moffat was the one who ended up doing the Christmas episode. So,
well, it might be that there's no it might be a Doctor Light episode.
It could be a Doctor Light episode for the. It could even be that, and I think this would be kind of cool if they sort of got the Doctor regenerating halfway through the Christmas episode. And so you have two. That could be an interesting spin.
Two regenerations?
Well, one regeneration with, but you'd have Capaldi for, say, 20 minutes, and then the next Doctor for 40 minutes of the Christmas episode.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you get some time. But that still wouldn't answer the question of the regenerating hand in the trailer. So I'm assuming that is... Yeah.
The thing about that hand as well is, you know, we've seen the Doctor use regeneration... his regenerative energy from time to time in different ways, but the expression on his face sells it in a different way, doesn't it? It's more a face of shock/desperation. rather than I'm using my time energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the other thing, because, yeah, I mean, you know, we're going back to that conspiracy thing, which people are sort of pointing to, is it being all to do with the Hartnell regeneration as well, this series, hence the 10th planet. He does look like he's in quite an old suit in that as well, while he's got his hands, so maybe that is some sort of hint for the, maybe, I mean, it could even be like sort of end of time, where you have the Doctor preparing to regenerate for a long period. It might start in the end of the finale and then carry through into the Christmas episode.
Well, actually, wasn't there something Stephen Moffat said about there being a link to the Day of the Doctor as well?
Possibly.
So that has to be dealt with in this series as well.
What's about speculation on who else is going to appear in this season? Because he'll want to do...
All right, Barrowman.
No.
Well, it's there was talk of it a few months ago, wasn't there?
I know. I mean, I was kind of thinking he was going to try and do the same as he did with Matt Smith and sort of play for Capaldi, the Capaldi era. So I was thinking Jenna Coleman making a return. I could see Alex Kingston making a return as well.
Yeah.
And him doing a send-off for this era rather than a send-off for his whole era, which I think would be a bit cheap because then he'd have to start getting Amy back and she's already done her farewell. So... Yeah. Maybe not on that. But,
I think the thing about River Song is that he's already said goodbye to her twice already. So that would be... And I'm not saying he won't do it because we know what Moffat's like, but isn't that done now? Isn't that just... I'm just not keen on the idea. I tell you what I am keen on, though. I do like the idea of what we hear about the first episode, that the Doctor's working... at university.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Well, they sort of say there was a push for that sort of Pertwee era being on Earth for a while feel. I don't understand why they keep going back to Pertwee era for Capaldi. Is it just because he's got sort of slightly Pertwee hair that he just seems to be naturally associated with that era? There seems to be some ridiculous constant connotation of Pertwee with him. Which I never thought has worked with him at all.
Well, they were friends, weren't they, as well? So maybe it's kind of...
Is conscious. It? I mean, it was the costume, and then from the costume, there was, you know, the shots with Katie Manning as well.
Yeah.
There's always this sort of thing about the Pertwee era with him, and I don't think he's anything like that. I don't know. Well, you know, I guess we'll see. I'm kind of encouraged, to be fair, given some of the media responses to what's been seen recently. Some of the things I'm not interested in the Ice War, I'm not interested in the Cybermen, I'm not interested in the stuff which is to do with the past. I think that's interesting, and again it goes back to the fan versus critic, and I wonder where that could be a mistake, or maybe I'm just out of touch with the fans, where the fans don't necessarily just want this constant indulgence in the past.
I mean, it didn't work in the 80s, so it's not working so well at the moment from what we've seen so far since Moffat took over. Russell T. Davies was very careful about what historical elements he used in Doctor Who, and he had that time wall,
yeah, so he didn't have to worry about it
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen Moffat it could be argued that he's had his own wall. He's had the reboot of the universe for start off, he's had the Day of the Doctor as well, which could have been a kind of, you know, a soft reboot following that. And, of course, the extra regeneration as well, which, again, could have been looked on in a different way. You know, the effect of the Doctor. Like, initially, he didn't know what was going on, but, you know, there's nothing new there for the Doctor regenerating. But I do think that, you know, it does tend to hang on this idea of, sort of, like, mining the past, when, really, you know, there's... I don't want to compare Doctor Who unfavourably to other shows because it's its own thing, but, you know, no show survives by sort of recycling the past, does it? That's just exactly what it says it is. That is recycling, and they need to be pushing into new areas. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think this is going to be a bit of a... It's got a feeling of a jamboree now with John Sim now attached as well for some reason. I don't know. I'm still happy about it. But yeah, when Chibnall comes along, it's got to be a clean slate. In my opinion.
Yeah, I think he'll go for a clean slate as well.
We'll maybe talk about that next time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dear listener, John Sim, back in Doctor Who as the Master. I'm excited. James is surprisingly excited.
Very much so.
Yeah, which doesn't happen often. Well done, Stephen. And tell us what you think about it, how excited you are about hearing that the Master in his male form is back. Let us know in the comments, tweet us. Hit us up on Facebook, you know the score. Until next time, it's goodbye from us.
This is a Beyond Castor Bruce podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCastorBruce.com.